He's worthy. He's worthy. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him praise. Were you blessed? Amen. That was good. That was good. Sister Diana was almost too good. It's like, is she going backwards? Is she she visiting the Chola days? She's pretty good on that. Not that the other ones weren't. Sister Lamar as well. They were pretty good in that. And just bringing, you know, today's realities of what we see, what's going on, and then how does the gospel relate to it. You may be seated in the presence of God. It's good to be with all of you. Father, we thank you for this time that we have left remaining. We want to redeem this time, make the most of it, of this opportunity to share your word with your sons and daughters. So bless this time and moment as we go forward in Jesus' name. Everybody who greets said amen. We also have a first-time guest with us today, R.J. McDowell. Is that you? All right. Does the R stand for? It does. All right. So this is one of Rudolph's sons? Baby. The baby. How old are you? 17. Wow. Praise God. Football player? Baseball? Going pro. Glory. Father, send him in Jesus' name. Give him all that he needs. Give him favor with scouts. Give him favor with the coaches. Give him favor with the school that he goes to. Give him a full ride at the best school, and that he excels and does well and glorifies you when he steps into the majors, Major League Baseball player. We thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being with us today. Hallelujah. This is called discipline. I am not going to be long. You're going to be out of here within 16 minutes. You're going to be so happy. It's 12 o'clock. Praise God. What are we going to do with ourselves? Praise God. All right. We're really going to get out of 12. Praise God. We'll see. That'll be today. Father, thank you. Okay. So we look at the, because I want to kind of build off of that conversation just for a moment. It just took me there. If you have your Bibles with you, open them up to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. You've heard me share this before, but I believe it's worthy of repeating because this is real with many people. You know, they'll say something like, well, if your God is a God of love, why are all of these bad things happening? And you know, what about all of these shootings and things that go on? You know, where is God? Where is your Jesus? How come he's not, you know, stopping that or preventing that? And then some people become so embittered with God that, you know, if a loved one dies, say they die of something like cancer, if you will, and that, especially if that loved one served Jesus all their days. I you know, as a pastor, you see a lot and you experience a lot. And I remember one Sunday preaching on faith and God being able to do miracles. Both are true. We need to exercise faith, and God does do miracles. And so I preached the word, and then after service, you know, this man comes up to me, and he says, you know, he enjoyed the message, but he had just buried his wife who died of cancer, and they were servants of God. What do you do? As a pastor, all I can do is offer my condolences, but I still stand by the word of God. I don't distrust God's word because of a situation like that happens. You know, we can't explain why God intervenes in some ways and why he doesn't intervene in other ways. We can attempt to. You know, the Spirit of God reveals something to us that can be revealed, but you know, every situation, you can't just say, well, God didn't do it because of this, or God did it because of this, you know, because it's not like, you know, well, because they're better than, and they did all of these things, this is why God blessed them, or they're, you know, worse, and so this is why it happened to them. But I think one of the best ways to really explain this matter is to go back to the beginning. Amen? All right. If you have your Bibles with you, open it up to Genesis chapter 1. And in verse 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And so we see God creating the heavens and the earth. Earth was without form and void, but God spoke order to it. You know, God made things right, made it inhabitable. Some people go deep and say, well, you know, that was part of the first creation, but then there was another creation and all of that. I'll just stick with the scriptures because that's safety for me. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know how you feel about it, but that's safety for me. I believe if God wanted me to know a whole lot more, he would have wrote a whole lot more. He would have had his servants write a whole lot more in order for me to understand. Even all that Jesus said and did is not recorded in the scriptures. John said it wouldn't be enough books. You know, you couldn't write enough books on everything that Jesus both said and he did. But enough is written. Hallelujah. Just look at your intelligent person who says, what about this? Enough is written. God has revealed enough to us to see that our need for him, and that when we receive him, we get better understanding of how things work and how things are. So that's in the beginning. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 1, because some believe this part was a second creation and like God did it all over again, dot, dot, dot. But first of all, let's stop at Genesis 1, verse 26. And it says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God made man. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That's verse 26 and verse 27. And then what I believe it is in chapter 2 is a more detailed account of creation. You know, that's just the way I see it. You can see it any way you want to. Scientists can see it any way they want to. You know, when it's all said and done, we stand before God. He'll tell us everything that we need to know. But for right now, enough is written. You can tell that to your neighbor. Enough is written. Praise God. So in Genesis chapter 2, we see that first of all, God has already said he's going to make us in his image and after his likeness. In chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, or the dust of the ground, if you will, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And dot, 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 it goes on. God, later on, he put the man to sleep because after he had created all of the animals and all the creation, he said, there's not one that is suitable for man. So we weren't meant to mate with animals. We weren't meant to mate with fish. We weren't meant to mate with birds. We weren't meant to mate. There was nothing suitable, comparable, helpful for man. And so what God did was put man to sleep. And did surgery on the man, took out of man a rib, and from that rib he formed woman. If you have problems believing that God could form a woman from the man's rib, then you probably don't believe that God formed man from the dust. But God did both. That's what makes God God. After all, he created the heavens and the earth. Earth was in a mess, and God brought perfection. You know, even when we're conceived in the womb, it's there, but it's not there. It's there, but it's not developed. We are like that tissue, that embryo, if you will. But we are actually a body. We're actually a person. We're just in that developmental process within the womb of our mother. But we were there in the beginning. First conception, and then it just formed, and you know, the eyes, the brain, the body parts and legs and arms and all of that, and you start moving and stuff like that. They do that ultrasound and you're able to make out, and I still have some problems with where's the baby? See right there, see there's a head, and then this is the sex of the child. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, because so anyways, so what? Okay, keep moving. But anyways, you go through the developmental stages, but you are that. You are that then. It's just, you just develop, and then you become, you come out of that womb, and you start to grow. So, you know, don't have no problem with the way God wrote this and how he created things. So in chapter 2, God formed the man of the dust, dot, dot, dot. And then God brought to him, after he formed the woman, brought to him, and God performed the first marriage ceremony. He brought Eve to Adam. Adam said, this is now a woman because she was taken out of man. And God performed that first marriage ceremony. And then God said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cling to, be faithful and loyal to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. That was God's word concerning marriage. In chapter 3 is where we have a problem. And the problem originates not with the man and woman that he created. The problem originates with the devil, who he created before he had created the earth. He created all the angels at one time. That's how we believe the creation of angels came into existence. It wasn't like, angels don't do like us. Angels don't reproduce, if you will, in that sense. Angels don't, you know, up there and stuff. We know that angels came down and they made it with the daughters of men, and they produced giants and things. You had a perverted species of people. I'll just say it like that. We understand that. But as far as angels, they do not mate. Jesus said this. What did he say? He said with the Sadducees, who had a problem with resurrection from the dead, he said, you know, you're greatly mistaken. You neither know the scriptures nor the power of God. For, you know, in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Because they tried to throw that thing at him. This wife, you know, she was the husband of one of the brothers. Then the brother died. Then the next brother married her. Then he died. Then the next brother married her. Then he died. On to the seventh brother, and then he died. And so in the afterlife, or in the resurrection life, whose wife shall she be, seeing that she married seven of them? And Jesus is like, you greatly err. You don't know the scriptures. You don't know the power of God. So this is how we pollute. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. This is how we populate heaven. We populate heaven by husband and wife coming together and creating offspring and then raising them up in the fear and admonition of God, and God has a godly offspring. That was God's original plan. Okay, so in chapter 3, we see that there's a devil loose. Everybody say there's a devil loose. It begins with, now the serpent was more subtle. Now all of a sudden we start to direct our attention towards the serpent, and we know that the serpent there represents the devil. Satan is known as the devil. He's known as the serpent. He's known as the dragon, if you will. He has various names, but all of them apply to him. So it was the serpent that came in and intervened with God's creation, causing them to fall and to transgress. And so out of this conversation, God tells Adam and Eve that they can eat of every tree of the field, all the trees of the field. It's free to eat except for the tree of what? The knowledge of good and evil. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall die. I want to fast forward this real quick, because what I see is that since it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that means that that tree and the fruit from that tree had good and evil in it. Adam and Eve, with their first two children, they had two sons. One's name was Cain. He was the firstborn. The other one's name was Abel. He was the secondborn. Cain was evil. Abel was good. It's a byproduct of the tree that they ate of. You are what you eat. And so it was a byproduct of that sin. That sin wasn't only in them eating the fruit, but the sin manifested itself in their first two offsprings. And what did Cain do? Cain committed the first murder. He killed his brother Abel. So these things started in the beginning, and they got their entrance through sin. They got their entrance through transgression. So why is it that somebody goes into a school and shoots up students, and then you have those that have the power to go in there and try and take them out or do something that stayed outside? We find that out later. You know, I don't know what I would have done in that situation. I would hope I would have went in there to take the guy out, if you will. But I remember a situation that happened to me before, and it was so sudden and so startling. This guy was, he came into the district office, and I heard this guy beating on the door. And so I come out of the office, and I look to see, and I see this guy trying to break down the door. And then the custodian was on the inside saying, "Help, help, help." I'm like, "What's wrong?" And so I went back in and called some officials, the authority, to come down here because the individual was trying to get him. I didn't know if the guy had a gun and was going to kill him or what. But anyways, I'm just saying that to say, in a situation like that, it could very well paralyze you. They say that a lion can roar so fierce that it paralyzes its prey. You know, the thing is just too afraid to move because of just the roar, if you will. And so, having said that, coming back, we see that the byproduct of that tree, good and evil, produced in their relationship, they had two sons, Cain and Abel. One was good, one was evil, byproduct of the tree. From that moment forward, since Adam and Eve sinned, this is why we have these things going on. God could have prevented that because he's all powerful. But this is a consequence of sin. And this is why we see things going on today. It's not that God doesn't care. It's not that God doesn't love. Because God loved Adam and Eve. And even though Cain slew Abel, God had another plan. What was the plan? He brought forth Seth. And he brought forth Seth. And from Seth, he brought forth the godly lineage, if you will. And we've had trouble ever since. The trouble is not because God is way up there and don't care. The trouble is because of the evilness and the wickedness of sin in and of itself. And there's a devil loose. Well, when is God going to deal with him? Read your word. He's going to deal with him. He's going to give Satan his final blow. Satan will be dealt with. But in the meantime, what are we to do as the people of God? We're to go towards the salvation that God has provided for us through Christ Jesus. God so loved. If people want to know, well, if God is a God of love, how come he doesn't do something about it? God so loved mankind that he took on the form of flesh, came down here for 33 and a half years, showed us the way to God, provided the perfect sacrifice in and of himself, died, was buried, rose again on the third day, was with us for 40 days and 40 nights, if you will, teaching about the things of God, teaching about the kingdom, and then he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And now he ever lives to make intercessions for us, even to this day. That gospel message of Jesus Christ, it was there in the beginning, but it was so manifest 2,000 years ago for all who would believe and put their trust in God. So the sin and the wickedness is going to continue to go on until God finally deals with the originator of sin, who is Satan. And until Satan's powers are bound, if you will, and he's cast into the lake of fire forever, he will continue to wreak havoc on humanity. So our argument should not be against God. Our argument should be with the devil, the one who started the trouble in the beginning. And women in particular ought to have more hatred. Not that it's comparing, but you ought to have more hatred towards the devil than even man. You understand that? Because it was to you he came. And God said this: there will be enmity, hostility, hatred between your seed and her seed. Your seed should not want to be friends with the devil. There's supposed to be hostility, anger, if you will. But what is there? There's a, come on, you want to go to the club with me? Come on, let's go party. Let's go drink. Let's go. Where's she at? Oh, she's down there teaching. But you remember what she did in the skit? Because that's real. That's the mindset. Come on, let's go out. It's ladies' night. Or let's go out with the fellas. You know, let's go out. Let's do everything to get us away from God. Because we're having fun out here. But the thing of it is there's a trap. There's a trap that's about to snap, and it's about to destroy anything in its pathway. And the only hope is in Christ Jesus, the one who gave his life for us. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. We can't get it any other way. Salvation only comes through Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for just a short time that we've had together with the saints of God. And we thank you for what you did earlier and revealed to us. And thank you just for a short message. You said on that cross, Jesus, today you will be with me in paradise. That simple, that quick. All that man did was rebuked his friend and stood up for Jesus. I pray that all of us in this house today, all that are down in the MP room, I pray that we have such a willingness to be like that thief. Because those two thieves represented all of humanity, either saved or unsaved. We all fall into one of those categories. And the salvation came to the thief who acknowledged Jesus and rebuked his friend. But he defended Jesus. This man has done no wrong. And so in the midst of hostile conversations with others about Jesus, as if he's some weak, insignificant person or some figment of our imagination that will stand up for Jesus. Say, Jesus has done no wrong. We deserve our punishment. We deserve the wrath of God. But because of what Jesus has done, we can now receive him as our Savior and become the friend of God, the Son of God. We can be saved from our sinful ways and desires. All the wickedness and the corruption that we see in the world, God is being patient, that in all of that we will turn to him, because he is our safety, he is our refuge. So may we all have that boldness. Bring them to Jesus. Bring the ungodly to church, that they too may have the opportunity to get saved. They don't have to get saved inside these four walls. They can. But you can be that witness right there on the spot, and you can tell that person today, if you receive the words I'm giving you, you will have eternal life. And then as they receive, that they learn to build their relationship with God. Because if you don't build your relationship with God, you'll continue to live your life the way you've been living it prior to coming to him. Nothing will change. Everything will be the same. But it's when you open up to him and his ways, and then let that transformation process go on, and let him heal you and deliver you and destroy all the unfruitful works of darkness in your life, because we all came out of darkness into God's marvelous light. May you have the confidence and the boldness to be an effective witness, even to those who are mockers and scorners, that you'll share with them the love of Christ, that he not only died for your own sins, but for their sins too. This man has done no wrong. Everything that he did was for us. Lord, remember us when you come into your kingdom. And he says, today you shall be with me in paradise. Paradise according to the scriptures, out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 and verse 4. Paradise is the third heaven. It's the place where Paul was caught up, heard things that were unimaginable, things that are not lawful in the sense that we can't even find words to express the glory, the majesty, the power of the words that he heard when he was there. We all get to be there with Jesus if we receive him as our Lord and Savior. So, Father, thank you for this time. I pray your blessing upon each and every one. The Lord our God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the gates and the powers of hell shall not prevail against you. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah. Glory, glory. You can give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And now as you get ready to go, we'll be back here at the altar at 6 p.m. for prayer and intercession. Go and share the love of Christ with as many as you possibly can. Let them know what Jesus has done for you. He'll do the same for them. Amen.